We had dinner last night with with Pastor Corey Byrne. Some of you guys know Corey from Goulston Church and a few other kind of local pastors. I want to encourage us to keep praying for our country. Keep praying for our country. Corey shared with us, who knows who Corey is? Some of you know, surely. He came with his church when we were on holidays last November. He brought his whole church here. Some of you were here, right? Put your hand up, come on. So Corey's a great guy. Corey, from November, has been praying for our country. He's been praying for rain. He's been praying against all odds for rain. He's been sharing with his church it's going to rain. And even when the forecast said there's no rain coming for 3 or 4 months, he steadfastly just stood in front of his people and said, it's going to rain. And I want to encourage you because, as you know, we've had significant rain. Warragamba Dam is up to 75-80%, which is quite phenomenal. And that was just in 1 week. And Pastor Corey's saying to his church, if God can do that in 1 week, imagine what he could do in 2 weeks. If God can fill up a dam, imagine what he could do to change the actual spiritual nature of our country. Imagine what he could do to actually help in people's lives. Imagine what he could do to fill up our capacity for him. So can we imagine together this week, keep praying for Australia, keep praying for our leaders, pray for other churches in our area, and let's keep believing for God to do things, because even when we don't see it, he's working, right? Even when you don't, so we do that, God. We want to bless God in the name of Jesus. We want to bless our country, Australia. We want to bless this great nation, God. We want to say thank you for the things you have done, God. It's been a very topsy turvy start to the year. There've been things that have been very difficult and challenging and tragic, and yet, God, nonetheless, there have been things that are changing and turning up, and we want to say thank you. And to kind of paraphrase what Eve said a moment ago, we thank you for that. You love every person, God, everyone. You're moving everywhere, and we want to dare to ask you for more for our nation, God, for more blessing, God, for more help for those who today are struggling, more help for those who are finding it difficult, more help for those who have been affected, God, by drought, by fires, by even floods. It's hard for us to pull together how all that would take place, but God, we believe in your goodness today. And we want to bless our nation with your goodness. Amen. 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 So this morning, I'm going to share with you what I have felt is really a challenge to my own heart, which is this, that when we are failing, even when we feel like we're falling, that God can be doing a work to fill us. Failing and falling can be a way to actually bring in the filling of God. God can work in our failure. That's good news, isn't it? God can work when we fall. And this morning, there's a scripture that we're going to begin with, which is from Psalm, and it's from Psalms 37, and it's from verse 23 and verse 24. And it is a scripture you may have heard of, and it's been sort of going through my head in these last few days, and I'm going to read it together, so I think it's on the screen. It says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." That's talking about in your way. Though he fall, which we can identify with, though we might fall, you shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Did you know that in the Christian walk, in following Jesus, we take steps and there's a way? There are two parts to how we walk, right? There are steps. There's also a way. There's a direction, right? There's actually a person who is the way, Jesus, who we follow. Our steps matter and our way matters. And today I've been thinking about this truth that sometimes when we take steps, even though we're still following a way that is a good way, following Jesus, we actually do sometimes stumble and we do sometimes fall. And indeed, this psalm makes it clear that falling and failing, I think, is actually part of the normal Christian life. Isn't that interesting? Because it says, though he fall, he shall not be cast down. I think of Proverbs chapter 24. I think the scripture's on the screen as well. Proverbs 24, it actually talks about, though a righteous man may fall seven times. Is it there? For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Today, I feel like God wants us to understand the value of falling, the value of even failing, and to perhaps recalibrate how we think about that in our Christian walk. You up for that? Falling and failing can be actually good things. I've been reading this book while we had our break the last few days. It's called Falling Upward. Falling Upward. It's written by a Franciscan friar whose name is Richard Rohr. And probably the big point of the story is, this book, that we can grow more spiritually by doing it wrong than by doing it right. I'm going to say that again. Did you know that potentially we can grow more by doing it wrong than by doing it right? It's quite a radical thought, isn't it? I think it could be quite releasing, honestly, for us to understand that God does not expect us to walk perfectly. He doesn't punish us if we fall. Indeed, he actually wants us to learn. Some of you are parents in the room. Some of you can remember what it's like. Some of you can remember even your own situation when you're learning how to walk. Think of little Johnny. Think of when your first child took his first step. Did you get mad at him when your child fell? No, I don't think you would have. Did your parents get mad at you? Maybe they did, but they shouldn't have done. The heart of God is this. When we're learning how to take a step and follow in the way, God doesn't get mad at us when we stumble and when we fall. He actually wants us to... Come on, you can get up again. And he reaches out his hand and he says, come on, keep walking. You can do it. And you can picture that first. I can still see our son, Kel, in that first moment of just sort of wobbling across the floor, grabbing onto the coffee table. Can you picture that? Some of you know what that's like. And today, I believe God wants to release us from the burden of walking perfectly and rather to help us receive the grace to get up again. Because there is, I believe, a truth that walking and falling and walking and failing are actually things that go together. So this morning, as we consider this whole truth, I've been thinking about Peter. I love Peter in the Bible. I love the disciple Peter. Peter's that guy who is just very boldly and very blatantly himself. He can't help himself, right? He puts his foot in his mouth. He's the guy who just actually says stuff that just comes out. He's real. He's raw. And Peter, to me, is a great example of this truth of what it is to stumble and to fall and to get up again. I think of Peter in that time when he was walking on the water. I think of Peter in John chapter 6, verse 21, and it's not on the screen, but I'm going to read just part of the story to you. You probably know that Peter was a fisherman. You probably know that Peter actually was an expert on the wind and the waves. Peter had been tutored in how to navigate boats when the seas were wild and crazy. Yet in John chapter 6, verse 21, Peter is in a situation he's never seen before where he looks across to the storm and he sees Jesus walking on the water. I want to let you know that sometimes God works in the things that we feel competent in to teach us how to fail and fall upward. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God works in the things that we are competent in other words, experienced in, we feel we're good at, we feel we have some strength in, and he actually wants to shake us out of our own self-contained ability and show us there's actually another way to do what we thought we knew how to do. And he takes us to a realm of inexperience and trusting him, and sometimes we fall. But God is not mad at us. He actually reaches out his hand and he says, come on, keep walking. So think about Peter. Peter was a very skilled fisherman, and yet in all of his fishing days, in his apprenticeship, in probably going to trade school for fishermen, going to TAFE, if there was such a thing for fishermen, Peter had never actually been taught that that a man called Jesus could walk on water. That was outside of Peter's experience. And so here he is in a boat, in a storm, and it's wild and crazy. And Peter knows what to do. He's a fisherman. He's an experienced boatie. And yet he sees this man walking towards him, and Peter has never seen this before. And it says in John chapter 6, thank you, Jesus said to him in verse 20, it is I, do not be afraid. And so they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately they were at the land where they were going. In the other versions of this story, in Matthew chapter 14 and in Mark chapter 6, I'm just going to go to those, it actually describes how Jesus reached out his hand to Peter and he said, come on, Peter. Walk on water. Now Peter had no grid for trusting Jesus in that moment and knowing how to walk on water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. And Peter looks at Jesus, he takes a step, and as you might know how the story rolls, as he is stepping, he then looks at the waves and he stumbles and he falls. And Jesus says to him, Matthew 14, verse 29, Jesus says to him, come, and Peter comes and he walks. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Here's a point I want to make. The difference between a person who walks and stumbles and falls and gets up again, and the difference between that person and the person in Proverbs who is a person who stumbles because of calamity, can we go back to the Proverbs verse? Can you see how it says there is a righteous man may fall seven times, but the wicked shall fall by calamity? I want to speak into this point. Sometimes I think we can look at bad things that happen in our lives and we can get consumed with the calamity of it and think, this should not be happening to me. Has anybody had a difficult thing happen in the last week or 2 weeks in their lives? All right. So calamity is only calamity if we cannot hear the voice of Jesus and we cannot see his hand and we cannot receive his hand. I believe the difference between a person who falls, and by the way, when tough things happen in our lives, it is actually okay to just like Peter, to fall and to look at the waves and to think, this is too hard for me, I'm going to sink. But notice how Peter was close enough to the voice of Jesus. He was close enough to the hand of Jesus, and he was close enough to the heart of Jesus to be able to reach out and to rise up and come up again. God, I believe today, wants you to know that he can turn tragedy into triumph. I believe God wants you to know today that sometimes it is in the unfamiliar that we learn what it takes to rise up into triumph. Peter was unfamiliar with this whole concept of walking on water. He'd never seen it before. And sometimes God shakes our competencies, the things that we know how to do, and he takes us into something that we don't know how to do. Jesus was teaching Peter, there is a whole other realm you know not of. It is the spiritual realm. It's the realm of Jesus' authority. I wonder today if you can understand this, and this is a big truth, that it is in the difficult things of life, I believe, that we actually learn to press in to spiritual authority. versus natural authority. Natural authority is the ability to row harder when the waves come, or maybe put on your scuba gear, or possibly just take some deep breaths. Natural authority is putting on a life buoy. Natural authority is doing the things that you've been trained to do naturally. But in the things that can cause us to stumble and fall sit secrets that we can learn about the nature of God and about his authority and about his strength and his ability. Because it's when we do that, like the Apostle Paul, we can say, when I am weak, then I'm strong. So sometimes we need to experience what it is to be weak again to learn the strength that comes from Jesus himself in a difficult situation. I feel like the cross that Jesus died on, I feel like the cross is a place of redefinition of weakness. And I feel like the cross is a place of redefinition of strength. I feel like at the cross, those things that we once upon a time thought to be strengths can actually be seen to be weaknesses. I mean, let me give you an example of, say, in the terms of finance. There was a time when we had a business. We've talked about this sometimes. And at one point in our business journey, we were struggling, honestly, and we had overheads that we couldn't sustain. And so moved out of a nice-looking office block in Newcastle, and we thought the only way forward for us is to keep stepping out what we're doing but change our immediate overheads and costs. So I set up my office and my business in a passageway in a house we lived in, and the passageway was probably about as wide as from that white wall to here and from the front door to there, and I put a desk in this space here fixed to the wall, and I had a fax machine. In those days, you had fax machines. Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I had a fax machine, and I had a phone. Didn't even have mobile phones; they didn't exist back in this era. And I had my filing cabinet, and that was me. It was quite humiliating, and it was quite challenging. But I believe God was wanting me, in the weakness of that, what looked like a failure, to actually learn some strengths that I did not have, and to learn how to persevere, to learn how to just keep stepping and doing the main things every day. I feel today it's good wisdom that if you are in a situation where you feel like you're drowning, just keep stepping out some main things every day. If you're in a difficult situation today, if you're in something that's challenging you, you've been sideswiped by some kind of circumstance or life situation, and you feel like you're getting hammered by waves, then I believe the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. There's two decisions you need to make. Number one, I'm going to keep going the way of Jesus. Early Christians, by the way, were known as the people of the way. Early Christians were understood that Christianity was actually a way to be lived in, not just a way to go because you believed in heaven when you die. Early Christians understood that it was a way of life. Do you understand? Jesus is the way, the truth. And early Christians understood that for me to be a believer is to follow a way that affects how I step every day. So today, my encouragement to you is, if you are in a difficult situation, there's two decisions to make. Number one, I'm going to keep following the way. And number two, I'm going to take care for what steps I will take as I follow the way. Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. All I knew to do in that little office space that we had was just to keep on dialing my clients, right? Keep on ringing prospective customers. Or I just knew if I keep doing that, then something will change. I knew what the main things were for me to do in that particular storm. It was humiliating. It was a very ordinary looking house in Charlestown, and there was nothing glamorous about it. It was quite difficult in a way to get my sort of headspace in a professional way. But I knew professionalism for me in that season just looked like me stepping out the main things every day and following the way, believing that Jesus would actually help me. We did that. Eve said to me at one point, Dale, look, honestly, if you want to quit, you can, right? She said, if it's too difficult, it's okay. It's okay. I said, baby, we've put too much into this. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing the main things every day. So we did, and our business picked up. And then I got a phone call, and it was almost like I was watching a movie happen before my very eyes. I had a phone call from a man called Trevor, who was a successful, established insurance broker in town, and I almost knew as he called me what he was going to say. It was quite interesting. I felt like God had shown me what the way was, right? And he said, David, I want to have a meeting with you. Come into my office. I want to talk to you about you coming to be part of our business. So in I went, and you can picture the big boardroom, and you can picture what it's like to be with a business owner who's established and confident. You can only do this if you are. And here's this man, Trevor, in a very nice suit, the whole thing, but he's got his feet on the desk, on the board table, just completely, you know, lord of his own domain. And he said to me, David, I'm inviting you to bring your business into my business, and you can have free rent, and you can keep looking after your own clients, but you can also help to service my clients. And it was completely a game changer for us. But I believe it took place because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. I believe, even though I felt like I was failing, God delighted in the fact that I continued to trust him. I continued just to do ordinary things every day and take small steps every day toward what I knew was going to be a different future. And we did. And the time came when after 2 years, our business grew, and then the kind of tables turned. This same man said to me, David, you have to make a choice. Bring your business completely in here, I'll buy it off you, or you need to go. And I knew at that time my destiny was not to stay there. I knew God had a bigger way for me, and so I said, no, thank you, and I left, and we just went on to better and better things. But my encouragement to you is this. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, verse 84, it says, it talks about the pilgrim, the follower of God. It says, he will go from strength to strength. You might know that psalm. Now, for many years, I've quoted that psalm, and I have almost had what I have heard some people describe as a Pentecostal faith. Have you ever heard that expression? Like Pentecostal, that's kind of who we are as a church. I don't want to hide from that. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the empowering of work of the Holy Spirit to bring God's grace into our lives. We believe in all the gifts, all those kinds of things. But I believe another way to interpret Psalm 84 is to say God will take us from weakness to weakness. Have you ever thought of that? On the flip side of God pilgriming, as we pilgrim and follow him and just keep on taking steps toward the way, God's saying to us, as you are weak, you will be strong. And to reframe those things today that are challenging you and causing you to feel weak, causing you to feel battered, causing you to feel as if you're failing, causing you to feel as if I can hardly get up tomorrow because of what these circumstances look like, causing you to feel like all my life is calamity after calamity after calamity. And I'm encouraging us today, rather than saying it's calamity after calamity after calamity, to say it's catalyst after catalyst after catalyst. Catalyst for me to actually reach out and grab the hand of Jesus, listen to what he's saying, and to keep stepping, not to feel the condemnation that the devil wants us to feel, that we are failing, but rather to say to Jesus, I'm going to fall upwards today. I'm going to fall upwards. I'm going to fall upwards. Amen. And God wants to redefine weakness. I may have shared this with you. There was a period where, you may know, we were part of a church in Newcastle and we were on staff there. And during that transition, we sold our business and then began to, you know, spend more and more time in the kind of team, and eventually we were on staff. Mark Zaire, our pastor, invited me to go to Melbourne with him. I thought that was pretty cool. And so we went to a conference. I got in his car to go to the airport. He said to me, David, I'm going to ask you a question. And don't have to answer it straight away, but I want to ask you to answer it later. I said, no worries. What do you want to ask me, Mark? He said, David, I want to ask you to tell me about your weaknesses. I was not expecting that. I was ready to, you know, to honestly, to I suppose really, to in a sense blow my own trumpet, to talk about the things I felt strong in, talk about the ways I felt I could contribute to the team, talk about the things I felt I had experience in, talk about the things that I felt out of my business world and the things we learnt, you know, that I could bring to the team, all those kinds of things. But Mark, in his godly way, said, David, I want you to tell me about your weaknesses. That is the paradigm shift of learning that following Jesus is going from weakness to weakness. Because unless we can glory in our weaknesses, unless we can recognize it is in our weaknesses that the risen Jesus can be presenced and manifested and show himself, unless we know how to do that, I believe that we actually get caught in a space that continues to operate more in the natural than in the supernatural. Do you understand? And today I believe God is calling us to redefine our weaknesses, revaluation of the things that once upon a time we would celebrate, and to realise God is repositioning me. Now, I have said that I believe for our church, this is a year of influence. A year of influence. You've heard me say that at 2020, a year of influence. And I feel that God, once again, to me, and I just share this with you, is saying, David, influence seldom is expressed in the way that it would normally be understood in the world's paradigm. Influence in the kingdom is an upside down influence. Influence is a manifestation of the power of God in me when I'm weak. Do you understand? Influence in you and me is a manifestation of, look at that person. They've just had a problem, a challenge. They even look like they've failed, but they've got up again. The grace of God has lifted them. The power of God has invited them to reach out to Jesus and to be strong. And I feel today God wants us to know that he is calling us to influence out of weakness, in grace, out of incompetence, out of actually being people who thought we knew how to fish, but God's showing us you don't. There's a whole other way to fish. Think about Jesus and the disciples. Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to teach you how to be a fisher of men. And I don't know, I think Peter might have thought to himself, I know how to fish. But I think it wouldn't have taken long for Peter to realise that being a fisherman after men is different to being a fisherman after fish. And I believe Peter would have quickly understood, I'm actually quite weak in what it is to be a disciple. And I need the strength of Jesus to walk this life, to take the next step, to take the next step, to keep following after the way. We're going to finish with what I think is an incredible scripture in Micah chapter 7, verse 8. I think we have it on the screen. This is, for me, it's a wonderful way of positioning our hearts in this truth of this morning. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. I have shared before, it is not a sign of madness to talk out loud to yourself. It's definitely not a sign of madness. It's wisdom to talk out loud to your enemy. It is definitely not a sign of weakness to speak the voice of God to those circumstances that are intimidating you. And I love Micah. This teaches us, it puts words into your mouth, if you are prepared to say them, as to what you can speak to those circumstances that threaten you today. Those circumstances from last week, those things that seem like calamities, but even those things in the past that you feel as if, you know, a failure and a fall. There can be all kinds of ways to define that. Some people in Christian, popular Christian language, we can talk about, you know, such and such a person who had a moral fall, right? There's that kind of fall. You can have people who might have fallen into addiction. There's various ways to say this, but I actually feel today boldly to put falling and failing in the same category and to say, regardless of what it is that has been your past that you might have think you've failed in, it's the same principle. Keep following after the way and then take a step today towards the hand of Jesus. Keep listening to the voice of Jesus. Keep feeling the heart of Jesus. And the promise of the Lord is that he can bring you out of that and turn that situation into a wonderful diamond that causes you to grow and to get stronger and to follow after the way. So here's what we can do. And today we're going to say it. Let's read this out together as one voice. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I believe this scripture, this principle, encompasses all the things that are our past. Today, some of you might feel as if you have been victims of things in the past. I believe it still speaks to that. Some of you might feel as you've reflected on life and you've thought back, you might think to yourself, you know what, I have some responsibility for what has taken place. But today, I believe the Spirit of God would say to us, every time you think about the past, every time the enemy wants to intimidate you and to wave the past over you as some kind of expression of your failure, then you can say, when I fall, I will arise. I'm going to arise from this. I'm going to sit, even if it feels dark, the Lord will be a light to me. Isn't that wonderful? And so I want you to stand. And I have no idea how we're going for time, but we'll 10 or 11, perfect. So there's just a wonderful truth that the Apostle Paul lived in. If you were sitting there thinking, David, you're quoting an Old Testament scripture, Micah 7, and we live in a day of grace, everything's changed. Well, yes, everything has changed. There's still grace for all those things. But Paul, the Apostle of Grace, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 9, I just love his revelation for what it was like to live in this truth of being weak and strong in the risen Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, this is what Paul says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Are you sick of your own power? Are you sick of your own inability? Here's a promise that even though we're hard-pressed on every side, we're not crushed. Even though we might be perplexed, we are not in despair. Even though we're persecuted, we are not forsaken. Even though we're struck down, we're not destroyed. Even though you can substitute whatever it is that might be your even though, that circumstance, that family situation, maybe some blame or shame from the past, maybe from a broken marriage, a broken relationship, maybe from a failed business venture, maybe from something that has plagued you from your upbringing, maybe something that has just troubled you, you can't shake off from your childhood, that you actually were a victim from. All those things. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. You have it right now. If you are in Christ, you have this treasure. Jesus in you, the hope of glory, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. What a relief. We don't have to try to be powerful anymore. Isn't that good news? The good news of the gospel is that the power of the risen Jesus is powerful in us. We can let go to our own power, our own competence, our own strength, our own ability, all the things we thought we knew, and we can just say, Jesus, I want you to be excellent in me. Today I might be hard-pressed, but I'm not going to be crushed. Today I might be perplexed, out of answers, but I'm not going to be in despair. Today I might feel persecuted or troubled or things are difficult at work, whatever the case might be, but I'm not going to be forsaken. Today I might be struck down. There might be something challenging me, pushing me down, but I will not be destroyed in Jesus' mighty name. So I thank you today, God, for the wonderful power of Jesus. I thank you today, God, for the power of Jesus, our risen Lord. I thank you that death could not hold him down. I thank you that he rose on the third day. Amen. I thank you, Jesus, that you have conquered sin, death, and the grave. I thank you today, Jesus, at the name of your name, every knee shall bow. And so, God, whatever it is that has been part of our week, whatever has manifested as calamity or trouble or strife or difficulty, all those circumstances, God, we declare in Jesus' mighty name that your name is higher than all of those things. And we want to say we receive by faith today. If you just want more grace for your life and the things that cause you to feel weak, just hold your hands out just to receive in Jesus' name. I release that grace in faith, Lord, over every hungry heart. I thank you for your promise, God. That's when we feel empty, that you come to fill us. So we receive your filling, Holy Spirit. Just come and fill. I command it in Jesus' name over every heart, every life. I thank you for the all-encompassing message of the cross and the power of the gospel right now over every heart and life and every circumstance. And we thank you, God. Come on, family, let's rejoice. Let's thank Jesus now. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. Thank you for going to the cross for us. Thank you for conquering death for us. Thank you for conquering death for the very circumstances this week or last week that challenge us. We bless your name, Jesus. And we believe the gospel speaks to all of those things and all of our hearts. And we give you thanks. Amen. Amen.